Now it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets. Jim joins us, of course, on a Tuesday morning here on Robinhood Radio. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and also politics. And how about sports? Let's bring him in right now. Jim Dandy Dimes. Nice to have you on the air, Jim.
Yeah. Well, I just couldn't wait to talk about sports. The New York Giants. Danny boy, Danny Jones, new quarterback, came back from behind, just played brilliantly, running and passing, and so refreshing, as a friend of mine said to me yesterday. Thank God, I thought the season was over.
Well, the season is over, but you know what's not over now? We have, it appears we have found our quarterback of now and the future. And that is the thing that makes this season interesting. We can watch and see how he develops and the mistakes he will make. And maybe they'll win 3, 4, 5, 6 games. But now with you're ready to and set to move the offense to the next, to the future. Because this kid is, and there's nothing against Eli. I'm the biggest Eli Manning fan you'll ever had. He's handled this a great way. The organization screwed up a couple of years ago when they took him out and put in the former Jet backup quarterback,
Geno Smith.
That just ruined everything. But
how I would like to know Mr. Lynch's opinion of how the Eli situation was handled this go round. Do you think that he should have started this year or no?
Of how what, Jill? I'm sorry.
Whether Eli should have started this year or no. Eli Manning, whether he should have started this year or not.
Oh, no. I definitely think he should have started this year. We owed him the starts this year. He brought us 2 Super Bowls. He's been a splendid quarterback. And, you know, I'm a believer in when you're working with people, you really have to understand that in developing a group, there's an esprit de corps that is created that you need to maintain. And sometimes you need to maintain it by giving somebody in the staff who's been screwing up or this and that another opportunity so that the team members know that there's a humanity behind the management stick. And he definitely should have started this year. And talking about Eli Manning, the grace that he's always displayed in handling being benched was magnificent, simplistic but magnificent, and something that all football players should look to emulate, a graciousness, a humility, yet a stand-upishness for his team. So, no, I think it worked perfectly. And I think the pressure that Jones, the Jones boy I call him, had in his first start must have been incredible in the third game, replacing a New York icon, Eli. I think it would have been devastating to him personally if he was asked to start the first game of the season. I mean, he's a very young man. He's a very talented man. But he's a very young man, and pressure in sports, as we know, as in the radio business, Marshall Miles, can be somewhat difficult. Anyhow, no, I'm very pleased, very pleased, very happy, very delighted. I had a delivery by somebody kind of at the end of the game. The guy couldn't get out fast enough. I was all over him on the New York Giants. But that's just me. I'm an enthusiastic person. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much for that sport report. Now, how about the repo market report?
How about the what?
Repo market report.
I'm sorry, my phone is not as
The repurchase market report.
Well, you tell me. I think it's really difficult to assess what exactly is going on. A lot of this stuff. We've got a small group of people who do transactions, billions and trillions of dollars over a year, in terms of financing Wall Street, and it's been out of whack namely, firm A needs $100 million and immediately. So in the repurchase agreement, they basically say, okay, I'm transferring temporarily my $100 million in U.S. governments to you, and you're giving me your cash. And that enables the firm, the Wall Street firm, to operate properly within the constraints of its capital requirements. That's gone out of whack, and I don't know if anybody has definitively described why. My feeling is that I think the foreign banks, which can borrow at zero from their constituents. So look at that little bird outside on the AC. Wow. Anyhow, they can borrow from their constituents at zero. And if they play the game right, they can start dealing in our short-term market dependent on currencies. Now, that's probably confusing people, but that's this thing is confusing. The Federal Reserve has had to add money to the system, and this could be a prelude to something more significant. The last time this happened was in the mid-2000 area before the crisis with firstly Bear Stearns and then with Lehman Brothers.
And I wonder how long / short people's memories are.
I would say people's memories are very short. And I would say a bull market probably dispels most people's memories. And you have to keep in mind that I'm giving you information, not giving you, I'm expressing things that a lot of people didn't even know about as it was happening in that 07, 08, 09 period. You know, people put their money in funds and they trust to the management and they don't pay all that much attention to some of these things that are pretty difficult to comprehend anyway.
Right, and the thing what is always concerning is that people are focused, thanks to media, on a few choice things, but they don't know necessarily where it fits into the whole financial ecosystem. So they think that they are, you know, fully informed, and in fact they've got, you know, one little bit, and that's unhelpful is the kindest way I can put it. And sometimes, you know, advisors aren't that much better, because if you don't know what questions to ask, you don't know how to assess the answers you're being given. So it's just, it's...
No, you're absolutely correct, Jill. However, when you are investing, you should, one, invest for the long haul, recognize there'll be bumps along the way, but also recognize that when there are signs that you can understand, such as there should have been a little more trepidation when first Bear Stearns, and we're back in the 07-08 period, and then Lehman Brothers started going under, that was a sign to say, hey, this is terrible. I don't know what it means. Let me cut my portfolio down by 20-30%, my stock portfolio, and go to the sidelines. That's why periodically, it's very difficult to trade the market, but it shouldn't be difficult to go to the sidelines, because the sidelines represents an opportunity to take a breath, to figure out what's going on, and not to say, gee, I've got my whole nest egg in this thing, and I'm worrying day in and day out. You go to the side, you sit with your advisor or your wife or a colleague, and you just take... you take stock of what's going on. Now, we've been cautioning people for some time on this market, stock market, because of the administration, which is Nazi Fagan. They don't know what they're doing. They're doing terrible things. And I don't know if they know they're doing terrible things, but they are. I mean, this tariff nonsense is incredible. If you go back to the 30s, that's 1930s, we had a depression in this country, and it was primarily caused by our initiating tariffs against Britain and vice versa. And then the world itself started screwing around that way. We already had a stock market that had soared to unbelievable heights in 1929. And so with the tariffs, it killed the economy and it killed the stock market. My fear has been that this guy is going to do the same thing here. After a run of 10 years in the stock market, aided by a good economy, primarily, Mr. Trump, created by Barack Obama, your nemesis, this guy could blow it all up with these tariffs. I mean, he looks around, he looks at a bird in the street, and he says, oh, I'm going to put a tariff on it. So...
And then what? And then with that, if you so you know that, and you know that's going on. And then what was I learned a new word this week? Tariff. It's not a tariff waiver. It's a tariff something. Now if you listen, certain things that have tariffs on them are don't like. There's a tariff waiver. And how is one meant to keep track? It just seems like
one
this is
to keep track very simply. If you have a dollar protected, you can't not understand what the person in the White House is doing. Any intelligent person in government or anywhere who doesn't have to be worried about people saying, hey, you're not a good Republican because you're not supporting the madman, will tell you his behavior is erratic, irrational, stupid, negative for the country, for individuals, for their investments. Okay? It's that simple. And so if you have 100% in stock right now, at this moment in time, stocks or funds, bring it down immediately to 70%. Watch what happens. And if it gets real bad, bring it down to 40%.
Do most people keep 100% of whatever money they have?
No, they do not.
Okay, so
most
what...
people, the norm is, not the norm, but 80-20, 80 stocks, 20 in fixed income investments or money market funds is generally the norm. I mean, that's a generality. I couldn't prove it to you.
Right,
but 100% is not.
Right.
People who are 100% in the market are trading the market.
Right,
that's
exactly.
A whole different game.
And
if
what
you're
I'm...
trading the market, it's like you guys go to work and you do the radio show and you listen and create facts and so forth. You devote your entire economic life, so to speak, to this. That's what a trader does. But a trader does it 24/7. Normal people who want to have a life... they try and avoid that kind of activity. They might do it to a degree, but it's very difficult. You do it when you're young, between 20 and 30. Then you give it up and you become an investor.
Right, or an investment advisor. So my question...
Or an investment advisor.
My question is this, though. Just for...
Damn, I've always been a spender.
We know.
I've always been a spender, damn it.
As opposed to an investor.
No, that's my kind of guy. You don't have anything to worry about.
No, I really don't.
Nothing to worry about.
No, I do.
That's
okay.
She does.
Okay.
She has a lot to worry about.
But that's okay. Only for the last how long?
I know.
All right. Go ahead, Jill.
Just was trying to sort of equalize this whole thing and explain. You know, obviously, depending on your life stage, you need different things. You just
absolutely
do. And yep. But. Underpinning these things, depending on your life stage, is a certain amount of common sense. And that is just impossible to, again, unless you spend any time at all or unless you're a natural skeptic or you don't have ready access to like, yeah, you need this, you need that, you need the other, you'll be fine. Come back and see me in. Go about your life, come back, obviously check in once every, you know, whatever to make sure I'm not stealing from you. But go and do your life. And what I'm talking about is a longer-term horizon. And I think that people's brains have been so, let's call it, tradified. So they're just, like, every day they think they need to do something different about something. That, especially younger, that I just wonder where you go to get good guidance about, it's like, yeah, right, I've got money, I've got a family, I need to save something, I think. I need to spend something.
You know, we have developed into a society in this country of having a lot of people telling us what to do, be it on television, take this drug or buy that car or do this insurance. The way I think people should address their lives is the way I think people generally address their lives a long time ago when we weren't besieged with all this information. If you're a young person just starting out, not necessarily married, just a young person, the word is savings, S-A-V-I-N-G-S. You should put 10% at least of what you make away. And if it hurts, of course you can't spend on something, so be it. By the time you're 30, you should have accumulated a little dough, and you should buy a stock fund, okay, a stock fund. You should put X amount of your money in that and know that it's in there. You don't need to take it out for something, and it's in there. 30 to 40, you should keep adding to that. You should keep adding to your savings. If you get married and have children, you should provide for them in the sense of savings for them long-term, eventual college or whatever. The key is sanity, and sanity is within oneself. You want to be secure in going about your daily business so you don't get yourself involved in credit cards where you treat it like a bag of candy where you just keep munching on it until you get sick. But it's simple. I mean, if you go back in history, Benjamin Franklin, I guess he formed the first savings bank. It's savings. It's just simply savings. You go to the bank. How does the bank make its money? The bank gets money in, lends it out, doesn't take much risk. That's the way you should be as an individual investor. And if you have a need to spend a lot of money, well, bear the consequences of that. Because unless you have a lot of money, you shouldn't be spending a lot of money.
Sounds reasonable.
Well, it sounds reasonable, and it's probably too reasonable. It's not achievable.
No, it just makes
terrible
TV. But
it's kind of reasonable for this society where people are constantly besieged by friends and this and that. You know, let's say you want to take a great trip. Well, you know, take that great trip, but save for it, plan it so that it's economically feasible, and most importantly, that you get out of the trip, be it a sightseeing trip or an adventure, you get out of it what you want. You know, we all have, myself included, we lose responsibility for ourselves at times, and then we go awry, so you have to course correct. And you make a mistake, fine, you learn from the mistake, and then you do better the next time.
And there are two concepts that you've brought up, both of which are useful in investing and life, but neither of which I think receive enough attention. And one is you course correct if you've made a mistake. And before that, you mentioned something about the sidelines. I don't know anybody, like even with the most rudimentary knowledge of sports, who thinks that somebody stays on the pitch, field, whatever you want to call it, for the entire period of the game.
That somebody what? I'm sorry.
Stays on the field, the court, the pitch, the whatever, the entire length of the game.
Oh no! I mean, you know, this is life. You know, it's ups and downs. It's this is why one of the most important things, which I didn't mention, in that little scenario is given, 20 to 30. It's very key that people educate themselves. Hopefully their parents help educate them, but you have to keep constantly educating yourself in terms of not just your profession, but life and what you want out of it, and the things that bring you joy, be it music or reading or writing. And the key is, there's no one size fits all. That's the beauty of being an individual human being. We all different. We all have different approaches, and we just have to capitalize and maximize what we've been given, brain wise or physically.
Right, which is sometimes easier said than done. No.
Oh, let me. I'm glad you said that. I will say it. It's easier said than done. You know, it's easier said than done, and that's the challenge of life. I mean, there are many distractions. Things happen, but you got to keep getting up and going forward. As long as you keep going forward, you're fine. No matter what's happened, no matter how many times you've fallen, as long as you get up and keep going, you've learned in just the process of getting up, and you become a better person, and you've got a life's experience that you can utilize in other life experiences.
And I don't know. I think.
Boy, this sounds like the old philosophy here, Jill. What are you doing to me?
I don't know. I just thought we'd take a musical interlude. A musical interlude, just a little bit of like, all right, what's the philosophy behind I think a lot of people could take a step back and benefit from it.
Take a step back, and if I had one thing that we need to do more of is reading literature or history, serious kind of reading for enjoyment. It relaxes the brain. It improves your knowledge base. It gives you an ideas. I'd like to get to something before we have to leave. There's a young woman named Greta, G-R-E-T-A, Thunberg. I guess you've seen her on the television, lecturing us all on climate change. And I beg your pardon, not lecturing, but helping us, waking us up to the seriousness of this climate problem. And I applaud this young woman. I applaud her fellow young people coming forward. I think we should get on that bandwagon sooner than later, because she speaks the truth. And it's interesting how little children sometimes show us the way. We've read that, of course, somewhere along the line. And hopefully this is one of these moments where we'll have the brains to do this, because you don't have to have any scientific knowledge to believe that we have a climate crisis. You just look at the facts given us and the simple things that are causing it. So that's Greta. Seven freshman Democrats have linked arms. They come from a servicing, having done service in the government, and they are putting forth impeachment for the current president. It's time to roll up the carpet and start dancing, start fighting, whatever. We have to get rid of this person,
all right, well, it's
Donald Trump.
We have to end the show. It's time for the end of the show.
Oh, my goodness me. Where have you been? Are you not having coffee again?
That's right. The show must go on next week. Okay.
You got it.
Right,
you got it.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you all.
Take care.
Take care. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.